I come to you from the fourth quadrant of Earth's moon, joined as always by my best friends, Allison and Chris. Allison, famed mug owner, impressive mug collection. Chris, window gazer. Here we are. Purpose of the show is to talk about things we know nothing of. Purpose of life, talk about things we know nothing of. Glad you joined us for this journey.
Now, true or false? I was going to say, true or false, how caffeinated are you? And I was like, that's...
true, yes!
Not the proper format.
I just want to take a second and say, I feel like I killed that intro, especially given I had, like, no prep whatsoever at all for the show. Forgot
and, and I hit record before you expected me to, yeah.
Yeah, I'm really happy with that. Yeah. Really happy with that one.
Probably
no second takes.
Top five intros.
How do we do that in binary? Top
those improv classes are really paying off.
Wait, 0-1. Top 101, I think, is 5.
That sounds accurate.
I'm just gonna say yeah.
I used to now we're down to like 11%, so back to 17. I don't know what Zoom's doing. I used to know this guy. I mean, he's still around, so I guess I still do know him. I haven't spoken to him in a while. That when you asked him questions, he would always reply with, well, who's going to tell you no? And that always made me uncomfortable.
Wait, he would say that instead of answering the question?
Well, if you were like, hey, I'm wondering if I could... he owned a restaurant, so like, hey, is it possible for me to like, get a... like a walk through the kitchen like next week? He was gonna tell you no. Oh, okay.
Just like, so is that a...
But like, you could be like eating there too. You'd be like, can I substitute onion rings for fries? Who's gonna tell you no? I mean...
It's a really like passive...
really like, it's so... Actually, now that I say it, it's great.
Said yes.
Yeah.
Oh. Right.
I like active consent.
Maybe it was like a legal thing on his part, you know? Like, I never said yes. I never said yes.
No.
Technically, I've never said yes.
Yeah.
It's not a legal thing.
No, I don't think it was either. It made me uncomfortable.
That's weird.
Yeah, with good reason. I think Allison's comment about consent is appropriate here.
Even in substitutions, or if you should walk through the kitchen.
And it's always a mundane conversation. I don't think I ever had a serious conversation with him.
He doesn't
I imagine that he would use that same comment in serious conversations.
Oh yeah. Yeah. If that's a thing you say, like that's a thing you say, you know? If you think it's a clever thing to say. And you say it
all the time.
Yeah. Like you don't that's not like a halfway thing you use. You're right. You're totally right. And it is kind of a passively creepy. Now I really feel like even more uncomfortable about it. feeling like I need to sort this out this afternoon. Work through some things.
Just process.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there was a computer joke in there somewhere. And an average of 13.3%.
Mm-hmm. So on that note.
Yeah.
I always I'm forgetting like I actually have a job of bringing something to the table.
Do we have a timer that shows how long we've been recording for? You have a timer.
6 minutes and 18 seconds.
Dang. I mean, that was a blistering 6 minutes out of the gate.
In a good way?
Yeah.
We're like blistering, like, I don't know, like the sun is blistering down on you and you're just like, this is horrible.
It's too much. And
so speaking of the sun, I am getting new sod in my yard. not today, but like soon. And so my side guy
poured out your window.
Well, I'm looking at the grass. My side guy came on Sunday and was like, I have to spray and kill the old stuff first. Like, it's basically weeds. And then he'll come and he'll somehow magically remove that and then put down new sod. I'm not really clear on the process. I replaced the sod myself several years ago, but I just like scalped the lawn and sprayed it with Roundup. And then 2 weeks later, a couple days later, put down like sod on top and watered the hell out of it. And that seemed to work until I scalped it mowing. So I accidentally scalped the sod and that killed it. Anyway, like the sun now, it looks, my yard is starting to look very dead. Like it wasn't for several days. He did this on Sunday. I'm like, maybe he didn't put enough down or something, but it rained all day yesterday. And everyone else's lawns are like really strong and green. And mine looks like if you lit a match on it, it would just like be gone. What if he's going to do that?
Can we go back to the fact that you refer to this person as sod guy and just substitute man for guy and turn him into some sort of superhero that goes around planting?
I will say, God, I'm kind of a nerd about doing home repair stuff. So I was looking at what it would cost to buy pallets of sod. And then I looked on Craigslist to see like what, if I could find a better deal. And the price this guy was quoting, there were several guys.
It's lots of sod men.
Yes, the sod men, as they were, quoting like prices that were about like installed about the same price I could buy a pallet of sod for. And I'm thinking, I mean, if I could pay someone about the same amount and it would be installed, that's way less work. And I've installed sod once in my life. I know how to do it. I don't need to learn, and I don't really have a hankering to do it again. Yeah. So I send him a message, and he calls back like in the evening, and he's really excited about what he does.
In a way that you're not excited about sod.
Totally. But I immediately knew like this is the right guy. Like he's talking about all the stuff he's going to do. And he's like, you know, you could just like when I'm done getting the soil prepped, you could eat it like a bowl of cereal. I'm okay. I mean, he was really excited about preparation for laying down. Like this is what he was born to do. So I'm kind of thrilled like to witness this. I'm going to have like a front row seat to him here with this crew, like putting down, it's going to be incredible. You know, we're talking like a world-class sod dude here. So
do you really install sod?
I don't know. I mean,
in the world of programming, you do.
Yeah. Maybe install, maybe you just
NPM install sod.
It's not working.
Throw a -g in there, it's fine. Make it global.
To go back to sod man, what's sod man's like pain point? Like what's his
Roundup?
Yeah,
Roundup is his kryptonite.
And I'm pretty sure he didn't use Roundup. I'm pretty sure he used something else. I'm not sure what it was, because he said, oh yeah, in 2 weeks it breaks down and is chemically gone, so when we come to lay the sod, like, there's no risk sod will be damaged by the stuff I put down. Mm. Like, well, that sounds like magic, but okay. I believe everything else he told me at that point, so I wasn't about to start doubting him, you know?
That's how I feel about most home repair stuff that I just opt out of. I'm like, no, that's magic. You can go do that.
I feel like if you can find that person for whatever that task is, then that is the right person to have to do that task.
This is like the one I save my phone, right?
When I called around to get quotes to get a garbage disposal replacement, the one, like I was doing it over Yelp, and most people responded through messages, which is what I reached out. One of them was like, you need to call, like, let me get one of our guys to actually call you to talk you through the options as opposed to sending it through me. And like, at, you know, being totally like communicate, like messenger based, I was like, okay, whatever. Like we can do this via text, but if you want the guy to tell me, well, then that's fine. I'll have a conversation. I just don't want to call him. Cause you know, phones. So when he called, he had the same sort of enthusiasm about like changing garbage disposals. as your sod guy. Like he was like telling me all the different types. He's like, I don't use, this is what everybody else uses and I don't use that. And this one is like, you know, there's this one that everybody has, and then there's the one that's an upgrade of that, but that one's crap. And I have this one over here that nobody really uses, but I use it, and I'm going to put it in my house. And it's like, you know, one, like a full one horsepower, and it's like, and it's going on and on. Like, we get it for really cheap, and I can get it, we can get it in for like, you know, $50 more than you get the upgraded version of this thing for. So, and just like going on and on about like this particular, it's like, yeah, dude, sold. You had me at,
yeah, right. No one to quit. that is the part for people that are excited about what they're doing. Like, you sold me. Just stop. Like,
But they're not viewing it as like the sales pitch. They're just like, this is when I get to talk to someone about it. This is the only time that I get to give these details.
Mike literally said like 10 minutes into this call, he's like, I should go. I know I'm boring you. And I didn't want to say yes, because I had to be like, yes, very much so. And I'm being polite, but yes.
We are talking about Sod.
Are we still talking about Sod? I've become the Sod guy.
Yeah, you're like Sod guy once removed.
So yeah, you're
son of Sod guy.
Son of Sod guy.
What is going on?
I don't know. You know what? Speaking of son of Sod guy, I guess today is the 50th anniversary of the Manson murders. So maybe that's what's going on.
I should also look out my window for that.
August 8th. Okay.
Yeah, I read a thing in the paper a couple of days ago. It was like talking about the 50th anniversary, and it was interviewing the lawyer who put him in jail forever, and basically talking about how that case, like, he was a brand new, fresh face, just out of like law school, like 3 years out of law school, lawyer who prosecuted Charles Manson, and then that became the defining trial of his career, because he continued to go, like, over his entire career, he went back and back and back to like go to like when there were like parole hearings and stuff, like, no, this guy needs to be locked up forever and ever and ever.
Mm-hmm. Have we ever talked about the drive-by shooting 4 houses down from me 5 years ago?
No. Mm-hmm.
How have we not talked Did about we? That I mean, I guess we could.
There's now, a drive-by shooting five houses down from me.
Yes, so several years ago.
Is this a thing that happens in Jacksonville?
At least once. So several years ago, I was in Las Vegas. This has very little to do with the story, but I have to back up to somewhere. And this seems like a hard spot. And I caught the flu in Las Vegas.
Is this one of those trips, though, that you've taken the trip and you're like woefully underprepared for the weather of the place you're visiting?
Yeah, it's one of those, yes. I don't
really?
Think I went to Vegas and went to Reno and then back to Vegas and home, but...
And you were unprepared for the weather, and did you go in the winter?
Yeah, it was cold. Yeah, it was like October, so it was was hot during the day and cold at night.
Yeah,
I think it was during October. Yeah, it had to have been. So I got the flu, and I'm like getting ready to board my plane back. I had booked the red eye back, and I'm getting ready to board my plane, and I'm like sitting there, and I'm like falling asleep like in the terminal, and I'm like shaking, so cold. So I went and bought like. It's Vegas, so of course there are like gift shops. So I bought a hoodie. So it's Las Vegas in a really cheesy way, and I just like in the seats waiting. Anyway, I flew home. And I came home, and I was home for like 3 or 4 days, and I like, of course, I got the family sick. So everyone is miserable, right? And we're sitting like in the living room, we're all kind of spaced out, and I notice out the front like window, like our windows on either side of the door are translucent, not transparent, but I noticed like flashing lights, and I walk out, and there's like cop cars like 4 houses down from me. There's 2 or 3 in front of this house, and then there's like an ambulance like, I don't know, 100 feet from my front door, and then there's police tape like across, and there's a mailbox 2 houses down that's been knocked over, and there's this car parked like catty corner. I'm like, what is going on? And I'm still like miserable. So my neighbor's like, what's happening? Well, apparently this car drove in, and the guy that was driving it yelled something out the window at a dude whose sister he was dating. And then went to the end of the cul-de-sac and came back. And when he came back, the dude shot him, like, multiple times. Well, we heard the gunshots, but I didn't know that they were gunshots. I mean, I should at this point in Jacksonville know what gunshots sound like. And so they made the – this is like a corner. So they made the corner, and then the guy, like, in as he was bleeding to death, I guess, like crashed into a mailbox and then stopped the car on the lawn of a house across the way. And the neighborhood was closed. Like nobody in this end of the neighborhood was allowed to leave, which was good because we weren't going anywhere. But that was it, like police tape. And I mean, they were there most of the night, like taking photos and all this kind of stuff. And
so the driver of the vehicle was shot.
Yeah, I guess it wasn't a drive-by shooting. It was a drive-by.
I was going to say, that's like the opposite of a drive-by shooting.
Wouldn't the opposite of a drive-by shooting be like driving by and like receiving bullets? Oh, that's what happened.
That's,
yes. Okay, well, all right. I'm sorry, I've really ruined our PG rating today, haven't I?
I don't know if we ever had that. I don't think that was ever locked down.
Okay, well, might have to mark this episode as explicit.
Well, I think I mark all episodes as explicit by default.
Just in case.
Yeah, it gives us the freedom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there we are.
I don't think this is necessarily the podcast that people are like, gather round, children.
Today we're going to learn about Dyson spheres.
It's time for another episode of Binary Jazz. What fables and fairy tales will they let us know about this week?
Yeah.
That's probably valid.
I don't know. Maybe I just don't know enough families.
No, I think you're accurate. I think I wouldn't.
I mean, if you all have families, if you're not gathering around listening to it, I feel like that's probably a sign.
I mean, I wouldn't necessarily exclude my kids from listening to the show, but I wouldn't be like, hey, family, let's listen to 15 episodes of Binary Jazz on our trip to California this week. Woohoo!
What do you think your kids' responses would be to it? Would they just be like, this is so boring?
That. Like 5 minutes and they'd be like, wait, how do you know these people?
What are you even doing?
What are you even doing?
Yeah.
There's no plot.
Do you guys like sing or something or tell jokes? Like, I don't get it.
Is there a story?
Yeah.
Are you going to tell a story?
You gave an intro and said you were going to talk about something you didn't know anything about, and you haven't known anything about anything you've talked about yet. I don't get it.
There's no story arc.
Can we listen to the book?
Yeah. They're brutal.
The book is so much better than the podcast.
we should try and figure out how we can, never mind. Let's get into topic.
How we can never mind?
I was going to suggest we should do like a podcast episode that's like a choose your own adventure, but that seems like a ton of work. I don't want to do that.
I love that seems like a ton of work.
That seems like a ton of work, doesn't it?
No, it does, but so is bringing a topic to the table every week.
Which I don't do, if you'll take
note. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
I'm the member that didn't realize it was Thursday today when Chris said good morning, so let's put in perspective like the value I bring to the table here. I'm showing up.
You show up. No, that's good. That's all we can ask for.
And often you get. I think I've only flaked on one episode so far. Forgot it was Thursday and didn't even bother to like check into Slack. On
time. That's because so, you were living your best life.
Which means, well, and we're above 50 episodes, right?
Yes, we are.
So I mean, I'm like in the high 90s success rate for showing up.
We're above 64.
Yeah. This is like high school. I'm here.
This is 66.
I think this is better than high school.
It's so much better than high school. It is so much better than high school.
Thank goodness I wasn't podcasting during high school.
Wow. God. I mean, imagine if the internet was what it is now back then.
I would be podcasting in high school.
Yeah
I would have too.
I would have been. I had a zine in high school, so I totally would have been podcasting.
Amazing.
I started building a website with a friend in high school. We were going to do like an online comic, and he was...
I was going to do one of those too once upon a time. Yeah. It never happened.
It was...
There's still time.
The Adventures of Twinkie Fish. I don't know if it's relevant anymore.
You don't know if it strikes the chords that it once did.
It certainly doesn't for me.
Yeah, my zine started out... my zine was called Damn Punk.
Yeah,
and it started out as well. Like I was taking a keyboarding class that year, like typing keyboarding.
Oh, that was like wow, keyboarding. Yeah.
And it was like there's, I was in the second semester of the keyboarding class. The first semester, you actually do all the lessons and do it out of a book. Second semester, it's like, you can write whatever the hell you want. We don't care. As long as you're, you know, not
typing.
Like, as long as you're typing something. So like me and a friend of mine would just like write random, like left field, like thoughts that came to mind. And that sort of became the beginnings, because like we kept them and like, well, we should do something with these. And so, that evolved into Damn Punk. Yes. I mean, not just that, it was other things too, but that was one of the things. And then like, it's funny because you have a zine, and then like there's a whole zine culture, and there's like a zine of zines. So you can submit your zine to the zine of zines, and then your zine is reviewed and like listed and whatever. So then if you do that, you start getting like bands from like random places like Baltimore sending you their music for free, and you get to review them, and that's kind of cool.
That is cool.
So yeah, for a couple of years I was getting like free music in the mail and free like vinyl singles and stuff.
I had a decidedly nerdier time in media in high school. Have I told you our mascot was the Sponger? We talked about that.
No.
No, and I'm sorry.
How have we been doing this show for so long and you don't know about my high school mascot? I feel like this is like a defining feature of me.
Please tell me it's a sponge.
It's a person that dives for sponges. So I grew up in a city that was the sponge capital of the world before synthetic sponges were invented.
Great.
And so the Greeks resettled from Greece into Tarpon Springs, Florida, and dove in the Gulf of Mexico and harvested sponges. Ultimately, huge Greek population. And our high school mascot was the Sponger. So it's a guy in a sponge diving suit wearing a helmet, and how it has a knife stabbing a shark, because I guess holding a sponge wasn't really aggressive enough for a football logo helmet. Right. So I was a fighting sponger. And, somebody decided that in the early days of the internet, we would start somebody knew someone that had a server. So we started SpongeNet, and there were like a dozen of us, there were six of us or so that like, ooh, let's play with HTML. And ultimately like the person that was hosting the site was like, oh, hey, here's a bunch of old AOL floppy disks. You just need to punch a hole in the corner and you're set for life. I mean, seriously, like each of us got a box of 500 floppy disks. Anyway, SpongeNet.
SpongeNet.
Yeah.
Yep. That's diabolical now.
Was it sponge.net or is it spongenet.net?
Oh, no. We did not have a top level domain because they were expensive back then. So it was like www2.whatever the name of this company was /user/something/sponged-net. I mean, it was like, and we didn't have FTP access. We dropped it on a floppy drive and sent it to some guy who eventually copied it onto the server. And it was like that waiting, like you would go to the one classroom that had an internet connection and reload and see, like, did they load up the new stuff yet?
Wow.
Yeah, it was wild.
Days of the computer lab.
Golly. Bunch of nerds.
We're not even going to get to today's topic.
Yeah, we are. We're going to do it right now. Right now.
Either that, or here's your choose your own adventure. We can go to today's topic, or we can push it back till next week and just skip to today's quiz.
Oh, there's a quiz. Okay. Well, then maybe we should skip today's quiz, because before we do the quiz, or maybe after the quiz, I don't know. Probably before, because the quiz will run late. We had some fan mail that I wanted to share with the collective. Usually all the binary jazz email that comes in is filtered to spam, because that's fairly legit. But because this person is a frequent questioner and frequent listener, I assume, because she has submitted questions in the past, this one came straight to my inbox. So I saw Binary Jazz contact, and I saw, and it came to my inbox as like magic. And then I opened it up, and like magic, it was more than a question. It was a whole legitimate fan letter. Now, I will prefix this by stating that because of my cyberstalker abilities, I do know that this is a person that, Allison, you are at least personally aware of or familiar with, like, in real life. So I understand and respect that this is not just coming randomly from somebody in, like, Slovakia or something.
Right, so not a random civilian.
Right. But still, I'm still calling it legitimate fan mail. Okay. Because, unprompted, this is what shows up in my inbox from Danette.
Okay. Sorry, my laughter is a laughter of acknowledgement of, oh, Danette.
why I listen to binary jazz, she says. Allison, all caps. Because I love to hang out with Allison, and when I'm not hanging out with Allison, I still want to hang out with Allison. Along the way, I've also started to enjoy hanging out with Chris and Gary, too. I often listen while cooking and laughing at your jokes, but really it's Allison. So yes. there's our first fan letter. I wanted to acknowledge you, Allison, because if you were not here, we would not have a show, like, in both the actual context that we do the show, but also in, like, the fact that there is a show at all is mostly responsible to you. So, Danette, we agree. That is why she is here. And if you, since Allison is here primarily because she was listener number one to the show before we had a show, if you want to be a guest on the show because you're, like, our second biggest fan, you're welcome to. You can also join Slack and hang out with us, like, in Slack time. And there's a link on the website at binaryjazz.us.
I would love a guest. Yeah. That would be awesome.
So if that's a thing, let us know. listener question, she said.
Apparently we record on Thursdays.
Just a heads up, we record on Thursdays.
Yeah, the other part of this is that she does submit a listener question, and it's a really, really good one. Who would you like to see as the next guest on Under a Rock?
Linus Torvalds.
Oh, wow. That's, yeah. Because she wouldn't even understand the context after he told her who he was. Probably. Yeah, that's a good one. So for those of you who don't know who Linus Torvalds are, he's the creator of the Linux operating system.
Such a nerd.
So it's already far down the nerd hole.
But would you is that someone who, if you saw on the street, you would know?
I would recognize him.
Yeah. Oh, okay. See, I wouldn't.
I don't think I would. I would recognize his name. And if he said his name is Linus, that would be the first place that my mind would go.
Well, maybe I'm asking. So he is known for being kind of like an asshole, has been in the past. And he recently had like a realization that he was an asshole and said he was going to try to do better. Has anyone heard anything following up from that?
His doing better is just him being quiet.
No, well, yes.
Well, no, he took that hiatus like a month or something and then came back to actually being actively involved with like a allegedly.
I heard about that. I haven't seen like specific things, but I have heard sort of vaguely on the Twitters that it is. He's legitimately trying, so.
Well, he gets partial credit for that.
Yeah, points for trying. Yeah. Who would be?
I feel like I would want to see. I don't know. I want to see someone like Jeff Goldblum, but I feel like she would know who Jeff Goldblum is.
Right.
But maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah. Like. Who are we talking about recently that was like Nick Cage, but not?
Keanu Reeves.
Was that who we were talking about?
I don't know. Yes.
Well, probably not Keanu Reeves. Maybe like Joss Whedon or something. Or,
ooh, that's a fun one.
Or, yeah.
Neil Patrick Harris.
Katie Sackhoff would be good.
I like this question. It dovetails nicely with a question that Milo's has been asking me recently. Like, if you could have lunch with anyone in the world tomorrow, pick three people, right? The first time you do it, it's like, okay, But now, like, the 7th or 8th or 27th time he's asked, like, I really try and find, like, really weird mixes, right? Like, people that would be, like an entertaining group to have together for whatever reason.
Can we go, do they have to still be alive?
No, that's the best part. They can be dead. And the qualifier is, that do you want them while they're dead or alive? Which I always pick alive, because I'm like, I don't necessarily want to eat lunch with a corpse. Like, that's...
Feels very Beetlejuice.
I don't know.
I feel like my three would be Ray Bradbury, David Bowie, and Tom Waits.
Wow. David Bowie is definitely on my list, or has been on my list frequently. But then I like mixing David Bowie with, like, Bill Nye. Like, I think that would just be something. And then I always try and throw an astronaut in there. So,
because of course,
like, whatever astronaut I can think of, whose name I can think of that I haven't named recently. Buzz Aldrin shows up a lot.
Oh, okay. Oh no, the countdown.
Mostly. Yeah.
We've gotten to nothing.
I think it was successful.
We can do the quiz.
The quiz or not quiz? Okay. Oh, yeah. So I have to preface this with, I thought I came up with, like, a really great quiz idea on my own. And then I was like, no problem. I'll just, like, Google some of the answers and clarifications. And then I found out someone made this quiz too and basically did all my work for me. So much for my clever idea, which is, who said it? Lady Gaga or Lady Macbeth?
Ooh, okay.
Wow. Wow, I like that. Yeah, that's cool.
It's an actual quiz via SparkNotes, but yeah. Anyway, so it saved me a lot of research.
This is perfect.
So the first one is, so I'll say the quote, and then you can guess Gaga or Macbeth, I guess.
Okay.
Wait. I need to keep score.
Score.
Yeah, it's important. It's important to keep score when there's competitive things between me and Gary. Okay, Gary.
Do we have, like, our historical scores posted on the internet?
No. I do post
the scores. I beat you every time.
I do post the scores in the show notes.
On the individual.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Come to me in all your glamour and cruelty.
Macbeth.
Macbeth.
Gaga.
Oh, no. Chris, you were so confident you slayed my answer.
Hear my sinner's prayer. I am what I am.
Macbeth.
Gaga.
Gaga.
Damn it.
Look like the innocent flower, but be the serpent under it.
Holy shit, this is the hardest quiz you've brought to the table.
I'm just going
to
keep going Macbeth, because one of them is going to be Macbeth.
Say it again.
Look like the innocent flower, but be the serpent under it.
Macbeth.
I am a soldier to my own emptiness.
Gaga.
I'm a what?
Soldier.
I'm a soldier.
Gaga.
Correct, Gaga. This is the very painting of your fear.
Macbeth.
I'm just going to go with Gaga, just because I need to earn a point over Gary.
Macbeth.
Damn it.
I had no idea. I figured I was going to use the same strategy you used, Chris, and just plow into it like I knew and jump on. Now that I'm ahead, I just need to keep, like, trying to have you follow me, you know?
I heard the owl scream and the crickets cry.
Macbeth.
All the perfumes of Arabia will not sweeten this.
Whoa. Gaga.
Macbeth. I felt like if it was Gaga, it would be a little bit insensitive.
But Shakespeare didn't give a crap.
Right, yeah.
In the most biblical sense, I am beyond repentance.
Gaga.
Correct, Gaga. I shame to wear a heart so white.
Macbeth.
Correct. What's done is done.
I mean, like, probably Gaga said that at some point.
Yeah.
But I feel like in the context of the quiz, probably it has older roots and probably they're Shakespearean. So I'm going to go with Macbeth.
Macbeth.
Yeah, Macbeth. Correct. Yeah. Now serve for the gods, earth serve for the stars.
Gaga.
What?
I love how indignant you are, Gary. It's Gaga.
Yeah.
What did she say, Gary? Did you say Gaga?
Yeah, I did say Gaga. Yeah.
Why did you bring those daggers?
Macbeth.
Macbeth.
Great.
Although, I like to think of Gaga saying that at some point.
Why did you bring those daggers?
What's going on here? Just randomly on the street.
TMZ says, why did she bring all those daggers? Greetings, Himeros, god of sexual desire, son of Aphrodite.
Gaga.
Macbeth.
Gaga.
Yes.
Be bright and jovial among your guests tonight.
Macbeth.
Gaga.
Macbeth.
Damn it.
I am wind and hurricane, the stormy sky and rain.
Gaga.
Yeah, Gaga.
Correct. These flaws and starts and postures to true fear would well become a woman's story at a winter's fire.
Macbeth.
Yeah, I'll go Macbeth.
Correct. And the final one, when Pontius comes to kill the king upon his throne, I'm ready for their stones.
Gaga.
My brain says Gaga, but in order to win, I need an extra point, so I'm going to say Macbeth.
It's Gaga.
I'm a little monster.
It's a difficult... It's a difficult quiz.
Oh, hey, stop barking.
So, yeah, no, Gary wins. By two. I was trying to tie it up at the end, but...
I
figured it actually probably was kind of.
There's some
curveballs in there. Because Pontius is a different play.
Yeah.
Yes. That was the logic. Nice. Nice. You don't think that there's like some galaxy crossover there?
No. Not in most Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Oh, that would make it a lot more interesting.
What did I wasn't in a Shakespeare class in college, but someone I knew was, and they needed me to be something. Is it Othello? I don't know. I should find the video.
Oh, this video footage?
This video recording?
Oh, yeah. Find that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was something. It was something.
No, a Shakespeare course was a requirement for my degree in university.
It was required?
Yeah. It was one of the you had to take a certain number of pre-1800 credits, and Shakespeare was one of the required ones. Because they didn't want you, I guess, to just, like, enjoy modern literature too much.
Yeah. Yeah, that does seem like a big risk, doesn't it?
Like, everything post-1900 is that exciting.
So, I recently discovered that you can share... computer sound.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. And I had this plan last night to share computer sound, like have like a sound effect when we're doing like
quiz
emails. Yeah. Or quiz. That would be good too. But I wasn't prepared this morning. So I'll need to figure that out before the next show. Yeah, maybe we could even do like the intro live, like with the actual music or something. That would be shot.
Ooh, that's fancy.
That'd be weird.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how to respond to that.
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.